Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 128 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we've got a lot of news going on this show. It's almost like San Diego Comic-Con's coming up.
We're getting close.
We are going to hit up the LJN Series 3, including managers. And we're going to round it out with the listener segment. What'd you think, Scott?
Sounds like a strong show today, sir.
Scott, I'm excited to announce this one. We haven't dropped the image yet, but we might be having a new shirt up pretty soon.
Yep, from what we understand, from What a Maneuver, mid-July, the new Fully Posable shirt will be up. This is not Listener Cardback Series 2. This is a brand new image designed by Jason Wolf, and I honestly think you guys are going to love it. You'll know exactly what it's a callback to when you see it. And then the goal is zoom in on the image and find all the cool little Easter eggs in there. I really think you guys are going to love this shirt.
And the colors on the shirt just, or on the design just pop.
They literally pop right off of the image. It looks so good. Jason Wolf did another amazing job.
Did fantastic. You will eventually be able to get those shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. And we are signed up on Redbubble also. And on Redbubble, Scott, there is a bunch of different stuff they can get it on. They can get it as a poster, they can get it as just a regular picture, stickers. There's a bunch of different stuff on Redbubble for them to purchase.
Boxers?
No, but they do have a women's mini skirt.
Oh, Fig Life Wife, if you're listening. Speedos, perhaps?
I didn't see Speedos.
Darn it. Come on, Redbubble.
I don't know if your wife wants me on her mini skirt.
It's not for her. It's for me, dude.
Oh, my God.
Are we Greek?
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable. Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, like this week, reaching over and grabbing the iPod.
I'm super impressed you have it this week.
Me too.
At the ready also.
Yep.
Very well prepared.
This week it comes in from JChestnut31. Says, my favorite podcast. Gave a sweet 5 stars. He said, so glad I stumbled across this podcast. These guys are very informative and extremely interactive with their listeners. Thank you. We try to do that.
Thanks, ma'am. We try to remain professionally unprofessional.
Yes, and we give unbiased opinions.
Yes, we do. This is the Honest Opinion Podcast.
Honest Opinion Wrestling Figure Podcast.
Yes, WFP. I apologize.
Yes, exactly. Again, please rate and review on iTunes. You can email us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullypossiblewfp@gmail.com. Scott, I did not do toy spotting this week. I was going to go to the Hayward Toys R Us one last time.
Don't do it.
Thank you. You said the same exact thing the editor did.
Yeah, don't do it.
She said Hayward Toys R Us to be remembered this way.
Nope.
And I stood there looking at her thinking, you are 100% correct.
Unless Barbara was there and we could say one final goodbye.
Yeah.
That would be the only thing that would make it worth it. But yeah, totally not worth it.
You're my boy, Blue, Barbara.
You're my person, Barbara.
You're my boy, Barbara.
Oh, wait.
You're my girl.
You're something.
Yes, but toy spotting was not lost. The editor went to Hot Topic this week, and everybody knows where this is going because Twitter timelines were blown up with the news this week that everybody was receiving their Young Buck Funkos this week. Scott, I got to say, you saw them when you stopped by.
Yep.
They're absolutely amazing. They're one of my favorite Funkos. I can't say they're my favorite because I still have a soft spot for that Finn Balor where he's in the demon.
Yep. That's a great Funko Pop.
It's a great Funko. Funko nailed it on that one. Young Bucks are right up there with it. I love the pose that they're in. These are the Hot Topic exclusives, so they're in the yellow and green frillies with the jacket. Look amazing.
Yeah, and the fact that they're in a two-pack together, they're in their signature Young Buck pose, just phenomenal. Funko really, really nailed it on these, and I can't wait to see the Omega and the Cody.
Yes, and thank you to the editor for leaving work at about 9:50 this morning to go pick those up.
Goals.
Yeah. So that was it for my toy spotting. How about you, Scott?
You know, I've had a good last few weeks, almost month, on toy spotting, and I literally this week have zero to bring to the show. I didn't do any toy spotting at all, not even Walmart, not Target. Totally weak on this week's show. Last week was the big one with the Toys R Us send off. Nothing to report for this week. I did no toy spotting.
And it's gone. Did you see the pictures going around about Toys R Us wrapping up shop?
As far as like people's feelings?
We saw those, but did you see the one where Jeffrey the giraffe was waving goodbye with a suitcase?
Yeah, let's not start crying on this show.
Sorry. Dude, that one.
Yeah.
That one.
Really? That's not even a tug at the heartstrings. That's like a full-on jump up, grab on, and put all of your weight down on it. That's not a tug. That's a full-on anchor.
You know what was more powerful than that one? Was the one where Jeffrey the giraffe was fading off like in the Marvel movie.
Oh, gosh.
And it says, I'm sorry, I must go. And it's fading off like Thanos destroyed him or something, whatever that is.
And, you know, another one floating around, too, is there's a sign that some of the Toys R Us's have put up that says there are no more Toys R Us kids.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for really putting the dagger in the heart there, Toys R Us. It's not bad enough you're leaving, but then you need to put that sign up, too. Jeez.
Yeah. Why do they have to do that to us?
Torture.
I know. I'm going to miss Toys R Us so much, dude.
I really am, too. And, you know, I guess it's a good time now to mention that we just recorded an episode with Breaker and, I was going to say Breaker and Bane, but it was an interview with Breaker that's going to be on Breaker and Bane's show here within the next week or two. And Toys R Us obviously is a hot topic that came up. We're hoping that in some way, shape, or form, they come back to be. And it's such a huge loss for all of us. Some people say we're overreacting. I really don't think so. What's the appropriate reaction when you lose a part of your childhood? It's up to each person to interpret that their own way. And, you know, if some people are shedding tears over it, I get it. You know, or if you're the strong, silent type, I get it. Everybody deals with it in their own way, but to each their own, you know, and it is just, it's really sad. RIP Toys R Us.
And we've seen all the pictures of everyone sitting outside their Toys R Us's and they're taking pictures of the Toys R Us. And I wanted to do that with Hayward this past week and Celeste goes, let's not.
Yeah, my final picture, I won't be posting it, and I mentioned it last week, is Peyton and I in front of the Everyone Is, or I'm a Toys R Us Kid, something like that, with Jeffrey. And that's going to be my lasting image of Toys R Us, is my 8-year-old literally in tears over them closing. And I completely feel her pain, dude. I completely get it.
This is 39 years, dude. This is going away.
Yep.
Well, for you, 44.
44, yeah. Gosh, I remember going and getting, like I said last week, the Mego Pocket Superheroes there. And all the way to current day, where Peyton walks off with a little unicorn pop light. You know, that's the last thing that we purchased at Toys R Us. I don't know if I mentioned this. The last visit to Modesto Toys R Us, we were checking out, and there was a Rubik's Cube sitting there. And they gave it to us for free. First free thing I've ever gotten at Toys R Us.
Was a Rubik's Cube?
Was a Rubik's Cube. Yeah, it was just sitting there. It was open out of the package, and I was showing Peyton it, and she was kind of playing with it. And the cashier was like, there's no UPC code for that. We can't find one. Just take it. Get it out of here. We don't want it. I was like, wait, am I going to be hauled off at the door? Is this some sort of gag? Like security's going to bum rush me after I walk out? She's like, no, just take it, please. We want to get rid of it. We can't find a UPC. I was like, okay. So I'm walking out the door thinking I'm going to get jumped at any second. But no, we made it to the car and I got a free Rubik's Cube.
Nice.
First dude. Thing I've ever gotten for free at Toys R Us.
A callback to 1984 with the Rubik's Cube.
Yes, exactly. And I still can't solve it. I suck at those.
Yeah. So Toys R Us, RIP. This will probably be the last week because they've closed up the doors this past week.
Yep.
And it's just, it still hits us in the feelers, man. It's one of those dagger to the hearts, like Scott just said earlier.
But let's put a silver lining on the dark cloud. Hopefully it's not goodbye. Hopefully it's see you later.
We will get into that in the news section, Scott, which we're going to hit up right now.
Oh, you didn't know?
Scott, with us talking about Toys R Us going away, we are bringing up Party City.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Party City is talking about popping up 50 stores next to their Party City stores and having this one be a toy only.
I dig it. look, if there's another outlet for us to go toy spot at and continue the thrill of the hunt, I'm all for it.
Please, vendors, Mattel, Hasbro, yeah, everyone, send toys over there, please.
Absolutely. You know, this is a good time for the maybe the No Way Jose Conga line would be a perfect exclusive for Party City.
Yes.
So, hey, let's do it.
Yeah, thanks, Party City. You might be saving us a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Any more avenues that can come to be for toy spotting, bring it.
And also, hopefully they learn from Toys R Us mistakes.
For sure.
And kind of learn, okay, here's what we need to do for these toys.
Yep, so, absolutely.
Also, what's this? A former CEO of Toys R Us is reportedly looking to reopen Toys R Us in 2019?
Yeah, when he left Toys R Us, I believe it was in 2013, they were profitable. They were doing well. And the CEO left, and we see what happens 5 years later. Their doors are closed. So he's looking at purchasing the Toys R Us intellectual property in a month and possibly spinning them back up into some sort of existence in 2019. So like I said earlier, let's hope that this isn't goodbye to Toys R Us. This is see you later. And next year, in some shape or form, there will be a new Toys R Us. But from what I understand, it's going to be a combination of Babies R Us and Toys R Us in one store.
So what are they going to do, like, to make themselves relevant, to keep themselves ahead of the times? Because we beat it to death last week about everything going online.
Right.
What can they do to make themselves relevant, to make themselves ahead of the times? Are they going to sell more iPads? Are they going to add groceries? What can they do to...
Yeah. Well, being that they're called Toys R Us, I doubt groceries are part of the equation.
Groceries are us.
I doubt electronics are going to be a major component of it. You know, in our conversation with Breaker, we mentioned that, he mentioned that maybe they should stay ahead of the curve. Start to see the trends before they happen. Like he mentioned specifically Funko Pops. They're huge right now. And Toys R Us did have a great selection of those. But unfortunately, they were $3 or $4 more than what you could buy them online for. They need to be conscious of the price points. I think that's the biggest thing. Because like you've said before, Jeff, you can go buy an Elite for $18 at Walmart. You go to Toys R Us, it's like $22, $23. That's a $5 gap. And when it's mostly parents that are buying the toys, if they have an option to go buy it cheaper somewhere else, I know, speaking as a parent myself, I'm going to go buy the cheaper option. I'm not going to buy the more expensive option. Be mindful of price. Stay ahead of the curves. Stay away from bad trends. I think those are going to be the biggest things. And don't make bad financial decisions. Be smart about it. Unlike Toys R Us back in 2005 that caused them to close their doors in 2018. Be smart. And apparently the CEO that's looking at buying the intellectual property is a smart dude. He had them profitable in 2013.
Even after signing that horrible deal in 2005.
Yeah. Yeah. They were still profitable in 2013. So that's definitely a good sign moving forward for the reopening of Toys R Us. And look, Twinkies went away. Everybody shed tears. Twinkies came back. There was much rejoicing. So I'm hoping the same thing happens for Toys R Us.
Party City can also learn from stuff like what Toys R Us did that hurt them in the long run.
Sure. If anything, let this be a lesson to future toy stores.
Mm-hmm.
And we all move forward and end up better for it.
So fingers crossed, plus the talk of KB Toys coming back.
Yeah, that's great too. So, you know, one door closes and three more might possibly open. So I think that's all great news.
Including Toys R Us, who's closing.
Yeah, including Toys R Us reopening their door.
Scott, Mattel this past week, pictures were shown of their San Diego Comic-Con exclusive muscle figures.
Yep.
Why did you say it like that?
Well, we've been talking for months now. Who's it going to be? What's the figure going to be that Mattel's going to wow us with this year? What off-the-wall character is it? We've gotten Isaac Yankum. We've gotten Shockmaster. This year, we're not getting anything remotely close to that.
It's not S.A. Rios either.
It is confirmed by Bill at Mattel. It is not S.A. Rios. Sorry, Ethan.
So the muscle figures are four packages of three figures. So here are the 12 figures that are going to be coming out. It'll be Andre the Giant, Randy Savage, Iron Sheik, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Sergeant Slaughter, Duggan, Ultimate Warrior, Jake the Snake, Roddy Piper, JYD, who will have a kind of like a molded chain.
Yep.
And Million Dollar Man. Also with Piper, he will have the kilt on.
Yeah, and these are legit muscle. Like, they actually look like the packages from the 80s.
Yep. As Scott and I have talked about before, we were never really into the muscle figures. We never dug those. I mean, it's cool. These aren't something that we must have.
No, if they were in scale with the LJNs,
ooh,
maybe we would have been into them, but these things were like microscopic and they didn't match up with anything we were having with our wrestling figures. So yeah, I think we had a few, mm-hmm. but we weren't big into the collections. But look, to our fans out there that love the muscle figures, these are a big get. So if you know somebody going to San Diego Comic-Con, or watch Mattel's page, because we know last year they were able to put up the Isaac Yankum for sale. So watch Mattel's page. If you're a big fan of the muscle figures, these things are very, very authentic to what you guys got in the 80s. And they're a great get because now they're WWE related, which makes it even better. And they're all legends.
Muscle figures.
Yeah, it's not our bag, but...
And you know what? They're cool. And like you said, there's a lot of people who did love the muscle figures.
Right, right. They have a huge fan base. There's a reason that this is the exclusive.
Yeah. Scott, also this past week, there was a Mattel order sheet that went out, and it was discussing the next entrance great. And that next entrance great is, according to Mattel's order sheet, The Rock.
Ooh, let the wild speculation begin.
So, which era Rock is it?
Well, exactly.
We just got the Amazon, where he's got the $1 million shirt, sunglasses. Is it going to be WrestleMania 32 with actual flamethrower?
Okay.
What?
I'll stop you right there.
Okay.
There's no possible way they're going to allow children to light things on fire. It will be a look-alike flamethrower. But there will not be lighter fluid and matches included with this figure.
How cool would it be if it came with that sign that said Rock?
Okay, now that would be cool.
That would be cool. Now that would be an entrance great.
But they don't normally come with accessories like that. It's some sort of outfit.
Yeah, that's true.
Like some sort of grand entrance.
That's true.
So I know it wasn't during his entrance, but maybe they pull the WrestleMania 19 when he put on Stone Cold's vest.
Okay, that's a far reach, dude.
I don't know, is it?
I would take it as a far reach.
Okay, so you're talking about entrance great, and they've already done him in his shirt. What other entrance from The Rock would warrant an entrance great? Would you do like him in his cutoff t-shirt and black pants, like from that era Rock when he was world champion, and he comes with the Brahma Bull title?
Yeah.
I think that might be the way they go, actually.
Possibly?
Yeah, because it has to be an entrance.
Yeah.
From his entrance, and that's one of the only other entrances that he had is after he had the stomach surgery. He was wearing the shirt and the pants.
Yeah.
I should say the cutoff sleeves and pants. So I think that's going to be what it is.
So according to the post that was shown, it said when you make a... Oh, here we go, reading these again. We all heard the Brock Lesnar one last week.
Oh, dude. If you hit me with 6 inches of Rock, I'm destined to lose it.
When you make a WWE entrance, make it grand. The highly collectible WWE Elite Collection entrance greats, The Rock figure, is inspired by the iconic WWE superstar's entrance into the ring before the match. Figure has deluxe articulation, a detailed character expression, authentic ring attire, and iconic accessories. That's WrestleMania 32 right there.
Yeah.
Figure also comes with a WWE entrance ramp modeled after the real ramp WWE superstars walk down. Collectors can use this ramp to pose and display the figure and recreate the WWE superstar's epic entrance. Which entrance, though? Press a button on the ramp and 30 seconds of The Rock's entrance music plays representing the WWE superstar greatest moments. Premium packaging and Try Me feature. So
okay.
That's what it said.
Okay, so you might be right with WrestleMania 32, dude.
That's the only thing that makes sense. I mean,
holding a flamethrower, though, that's pretty crazy.
I know.
It would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. That would be epic.
But I would kind of rather have cut-off sleeves, sweatpants, and Brahma Bull World title Rock.
Now, let me ask you, does that entrance great get you excited? Because this is the one that's due up after, according to the schedule, is due up after the Finn Balor with the ribbon.
Just the idea of it, because we've had so many Rock figures, I'm going to say no right off the bat. But it's one of those things, I want to see it.
Okay.
I want to see it before I say yay or nay, I'm going to add it to my collection. Okay. The way they've been going with the entrance great, they've all been great. Minus the Finn Balor, which is more of a retread of their Demon Fins. So I'm anxious to see this Rock.
Okay.
I want to see what they do with it.
Scott, also a leaked list of future elites just popped up this past week. Elite 63, Dean Ambrose, again.
Wow.
Shinsuke Nakamura, Elite Kane, Sami Zayn. And this one was interesting because they added this little tidbit at the end. WWE Elite Shelton Benjamin Chase. Now, all these had UPC codes. You can go back on our Twitter and find that because I'm not going to be reading off a bunch of numbers tonight.
Yeah. You guys would tune out real quick.
So it says Elite Shelton Benjamin Chase.
Interesting. They haven't done many chases in their elites.
No.
So this is good.
This is interesting. I'm actually, and plus it's Shelton. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, definitely.
And also to round out the Elite 63 is WWE Elite Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. What era Dusty though?
How cool would it be if they put him like in his jeans, cowboy boots?
Oh, like a Bunkhouse Stampede Dusty Rhodes. Yes,
that's what I was trying to think
of. I'm all for it, dude. I'm all for it. And then you give him a molded shirt with the Bunkhouse logo on the front. I'm all for that, 100%.
I would be okay with him having the black shirt that he would wear during Starcade. What's the two? War Games. And it was him with the Road Warriors.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind that.
Okay. What about Midnight Rider Dusty Rhodes with a removable mask?
Ooh, that would be a San Diego Comic Con, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's obscure.
I think you're right.
It's obscure.
Although it wouldn't be removable mask, it would be removable head with their new technology.
Yeah. They're
doing all the removable parts. So that would be kind of cool. But I'm with you on the Bunkhouse Stampede Dusty. I think that's a winner right there.
Yeah, because I don't think Jax ever did that.
Bunkhouse Stampede Dusty?
Mm-hmm.
No, they did not.
Yeah, so this would be something new.
They did something close in a battle pack, or they didn't call it battle packs. I forget the name of it, but they did a Dusty in like jeans and a cutoff shirt with Cody Rhodes.
That's right.
It was close to what the Bunkhouse Dusty would look like, but it was older Dusty
in
that outfit, not 1985 Dusty in that outfit.
Good callback to that.
Thank you.
Elite 64, another Seth Rollins, another John Cena, Samoa Joe, Jimmy and Jay Uso, and Curt Hawkins.
I'm anxious about the Usos. I think those are going to be cool.
Yeah.
Because the last Elite Usos they did were in the white outfits.
Yeah. I think they'll be in their day one of shirts.
Oh, for sure.
It'll be like their battle pack, just in elite scale.
Yeah, and molded day one-ish shirts that you can take off. Yeah, I think that's going to be great.
Yep. Elite 65, Roman Reigns, another Roman Reigns.
Wow.
Very first time in the line, elite figure, Ronda Rousey.
That's going to be a hot figure, dude.
Yes.
A hot figure.
Nia Jax, her first elite.
Dude, they're killing it on 65.
Another Rusev. I can see him being in a Rusev Day outfit.
No doubt.
Aiden English, which I think is kind of cool. You're putting Aiden.
Beautiful.
And Eric Young. So after reading Elite 63, 64, and 65, which ones are you most excited about?
I'll be honest. I'm not a big Rousey fan, but I am excited to see what that first figure is. We did kind of a WrestleMania wish list of figures that we wanted, and she was on my list. So I'm hoping it's going to be something related to her WrestleMania outfit. Hopefully with the kilt. That'd look really, really cool. Definitely excited about the Usos. Super excited to see what outfit they put Aiden English in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that it's his WrestleMania outfit because that was Shamburger's. And I think that would be awesome.
Good call.
To have him paired up with Rusev makes it even better. Look, 65 is definitely your home run out of your announcements right there. That thing is stacked. And then you throw Eric Young in there. Dude, 65 is a winner.
So what I was noticing is a lot of people were excited about the first time in line figures. So a lot of people, just kind of going through our Twitter timeline, everybody was excited about Shelton.
Right.
Everybody was excited about Dusty. Not much talk about Usos, but Rousey, Nia Jax, and Eric Young, everybody was super stoked about it. Seems like the newer figures,
right,
new people, fresh faces, is what got everybody like, oh, sweet. You know, they were mostly excited about.
For sure. And look, there's a lot of excitement about Hawkins' figure as well from what I've been seeing on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So good for him that he's finally getting an elite figure.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to be one of those ones you can put him next to the FTC.
Yeah.
And say you could start doing the who did it better debate.
Yep. So there were other placeholder names. Now, the gentleman, Vintage Jax BCA, we want to thank you for tweeting at us with this. He had other placeholder names with UPC codes, but they weren't part of like an elite line or anything. Bob Backlund, Pete Dunne, Sensational Sherry, stoked about that one.
Yeah.
And Alexander Wolfe. Pete Dunne and Sensational Sherry are must haves.
For sure. And I bet you Alexander Wolfe, just because he's such a colorful character, that's going to be an amazing looking figure. I can't wait to see which version of Sherry we get. I'm hoping it's something that can go with Macho King, because that would be amazing. Like, throw her in her WrestleMania 7 outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Dunne, dude, I'm going to say there are so many Pete Dunne fans out there that might be number two behind Rousey in anticipated figures out of everybody you just announced. He has a huge fan base,
mm-hmm.
like more than a lot of people realize, especially if you package him with the UK title. That's going to be great.
You're not a fan of Rousey, huh?
She's growing on me, and I stand more in line with those who are saying she came in, she was handed a spot because she came from the UFC. But I will say, the more I'm seeing of her, the more I'm on board with she's paying her dues. And by the time WrestleMania next year rolls around, I'll be on board. She's slowly earning her place, I think. And I'm really, really happy that she didn't beat Nia at the pay-per-view. That would have been too much too soon. And I really think that that would have damaged her character in the long run.
Right.
So good idea to put her in a title match, show she could go and sell, suspend her for 30 days, build the anticipation for a SummerSlam matchup so she doesn't have to do Extreme Rules. I'm impressed with what I've seen so far. Look, her WrestleMania match should have been the main event.
Yeah.
She absolutely killed it at that. But I'm still in the line of, she was given a spot that really could have gone to somebody else that earned it. She just got it because she's UFC. But she's really starting to pay her. And I don't want to get into too much of a wrestling talk here, but by the time WrestleMania rolls around next year, I will be on board with Ronda Rousey. She'll have earned her spot just fine. She continues down this path, dude. I'm totally going to be on board with her, and I will be buying that Elite figure.
I'm impressed with how quickly she's picking it up, and she has star written all over her in WWE.
Oh, no, I agree. And, dude, you could see it in the Mania match.
Yeah.
You could totally. I was 100% against her, and then after that Mania match, I was like 50% against her because she did so well in that match. And I really don't want to knock her. It's just that she kind of came in, and we already have a part-time champion in Brock that's driving me crazy. And I was like, great, they're going to bring her in. She's going to win the title. She's going to be on TV maybe once every other month. That's garbage. But they haven't done that. So they're building her right. She's paying her dues. She's doing well. The Mania match was amazing. So they keep her on this track, dude. I'll be on board with it.
Yeah, so Rousey has sold me, dude. She sold me on the Mania match. And then when she wrestled Nia, sold.
Okay.
She's star written all over her, dude.
I'm getting on board with that.
Also shown up on Amazon, Scott, Best of Attitude Era Triple H.
Interesting.
Speculation? What Triple H do they go with? Do they go with the purple tights like they did with his retro? Which Attitude Era are they going with?
I'm hoping it's like the SummerSlam Triple Threat Triple H that was Mankind, Stone Cold,
and Triple H. Yeah.
I'm hoping it's that Triple H. Trunks, the long hair, the wet look, sledgehammer. Totally good with that.
Ringside Collectibles Elite Championship title packs. It looks like they're having a second round of those, Scott.
I think that's a great idea. Belts are extremely popular. It's not going to stop people from plucking them out of Elites or NXT Elites, but I think this is a great call by Ringside. Their first pack was amazing. I can't wait to see what's included in the second.
So I'm trying to figure out which belts they're going to throw in, because if you look at the first ones, it was the Rated R Superstar.
Yeah, like one-off belts.
Yeah, one-off belts.
Yeah.
So I could see the 86 title being in there, Hogan's belt.
Hopefully.
Stone Cold's Smoking Skull.
Yeah, you could even do like the old tag team titles that they released with the Hart Foundation Elites.
Yeah, they also released those with Yoko.
True. Yeah, they did. They did.
Unless they have some old tag teams in the hopper or something like that.
Yeah, or you could do like an old WWE Cruiserweight belt, something like that that's come out. Yeah, it's hard to say, but hopefully it's ones that are more prevalent, like the big gold belt, maybe the spinner, something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Scott, as we mentioned earlier, for Funko, the demand was so high for the Young Buck Pops that they had to release them early.
Yeah, the lines were forming at Hot Topic today.
They were. We actually got a few tweets. People were out looking over their malls as they were standing in line for Hot Topic, and the mall walkers, the elderly people.
The mall walkers.
Mall walkers were roaming around the malls. But yes, the Funkos were released today. They are fantastic. We talked about them earlier.
Yeah, they look great.
Scott, also sticking with NJPW, what popped up on Ringside today?
The Naito figure popped up on Ringside Collectibles for $60. This is the Naito figure that we talked about a month or two ago that's kind of the shorter stature. It's not really an action figure of Naito, more of like a statue of Naito, I guess.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. If you're an NJPW fan, you definitely want to check this out. Please use the fully posable code at ringside. Save yourself 10% on the Naito figure, but definitely head over to Ringside Collectibles and check them out.
Naito has the Los Ingobernables hat on, and he's also with his monocle opening his eye.
Yes, opening up his eye. Yeah, it's a cool looking figure.
Yeah, and he's not in a suit. He's got his trunks on, so.
And as of yet, they do not have the Kenny Omega.
Yes, but that one has been popping up on Amazon for pre-order.
Yep, so that's one that Ringside could end up carrying as well.
Right, on Amazon, it says Prime, and it is listed for $50.
Okay, well, you use your 10% at Ringside, you're right around that same price.
Yes.
So if you're in need of that Naito, definitely head over, pick that up, use the fully posable code, save yourself 10%. Keep your eyes peeled for Kenny Omega, because if they've got Naito, good chance they're going to get Omega too.
I pre-ordered that over at our local comic shop here in Alameda, and I haven't heard anything back from them, so I may have to take a trip down there and see what's going on.
Yeah, take your bat, slap it in your hand, let break knees
with a nail sticking out of it.
Well, you don't need to go that far.
Oh, okay. I want my Naito figure. Okay, just put the bat with nails away.
Yeah, we're gonna get these nails.
No, dude, my gimmick's my trains, dude.
Yeah.
It's cool you tweeted out the picture of the train that I smashed you with.
I found it and started laughing.
Where'd you find that at?
It was in the garage in one of our tubs.
What?
We had loaded up a bunch of stuff from Grandma Toon's house the last visit there.
Uh-huh.
And I found all of the mask vehicles in the box.
What?
I actually got out the Rhino, the big rig.
Yeah.
Dude, that stuff still stands up. It looks so great. But in that same tote was the toy train. I happened to locate that at Grandma's, and I was laughing when I found it. And then when I found it again when we were cleaning out the garage, I was laughing again when I found it, dude. It was it was just hilarious. And somebody brought up a funny point that I'm actually wearing my cleaning gloves in the picture. And it looks like I'm like getting ready to destroy evidence because I've got these black gloves on holding this toy that you hit me in the head with. But yeah, just it was hilarious, dude.
That's hella funny.
That is your MO though. Get these trains.
Yeah, get these trains. Scott, we're going to hit up that nostalgia line, LJN Series 3.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
Scott, LJN Series 3, introducing managers.
Yeah, they expanded the line out this time, doing a few tag teams on single cards, and also including the managers, which was brilliant. So here we are with LJN Wrestling Superstars Series 3. Leading off, we have Bobby the Brain Heenan, black pants, blue shirt, and there was a variant. It was either with or without the BH scrolls on the shirt. Next up, Bruno Sammartino, and he was in his wrestler gear here, not his announcer gear. Captain Lou Albano, and he had either red or white lapels. Classy Freddie Blassie, he was in his yellow sweater. The unbuttoned version, not the buttoned. We talked with Bill about the unbuttoned or the buttoned version.
Yep.
He was packaged with a cane accessory, which totally made sense. Next up, Corporal Kirshner. Couple of variants on this one. He was either with stubble or a painted or no beard. So there were a few different Corporal Kirshners out there. Next up, Davey Boy Smith, one half of the British Bulldogs. Magnificent Morocco, and he was wearing a black t-shirt on his figure. Dynamite Kid, the other half of the British Bulldogs. Jesse the Body Ventura, who had a blue bandana, I should say a light blue bandana, and pink tights. Jimmy Hart, Mr. Fuji, and he was also packaged with a cane. Macho Man Randy Savage, Mean Gene Okerlund, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and he was in black tights, unlike the red and black tights that he was pictured with on the back of the cards. SD Jones, and he was in either a red or a yellow and blue tropical shirt. Terry Funk, and he was packaged with a branding iron and a hat. And rounding out Wrestling Superstar Series 3, Tito Santana. And he was in purple trunks and looked different from the prototype picture on the back of the card.
Prototype picture, it looked like his arms were up, like he was doing a curl.
Yes, one of them was kind of down and the other one was kind of up a little bit. But yeah, it was totally different from the one that came out where he was almost in Junkyard Dog's pose.
The face was botched on the one that was a prototype. So glad they went in and retooled that one.
Yeah, definitely. It looked better on this one.
Yep. This is one of the best series ever released. And I'll just say it because of the Davey Boy Smith, Dynamite Kid, and Macho Man.
the inclusion of the managers, and I think, really rounds it out. Oh, and Ricky Steamboat. I mean, that goes without saying. That I think as a kid, that's the figure I was probably most excited about getting. I was such a huge Steamboat fan. Mm-hmm. And when I found out they were making a figure of him, I had to have it. The shocking part was is when Barbara pulled it out of the box for us and he was in the black tights, I'm like, where's the red and black one? I want that one. Right. I want the one I saw on the back of the card. Unfortunately, that figure didn't get released. It was just the one in the black tights and the black boots.
Now you're including managers because this series came out in 86, I believe.
Yeah, this would have been around 86, 87.
86, 87. So Heenan was just starting up with Andre.
Yes.
So Heenan would accompany down Andre, the Heenan family.
Big John Studd, Hercules. Bundy, Hercules, yep.
Yep. The inclusion of managers at this time was just mind-blowing.
Oh, it was great. It added another play element.
Yep.
Because now you had outside interference. And the fact that Jimmy Hart was holding his megaphone, I can't tell you how many wrestlers got bashed in the back of the dome with that thing.
Yeah.
It just added another level of playability. And even when you're playing with the figures, they're standing at ringside, so it looks like you're watching it on TV. So the inclusion of the managers was just a fantastic idea.
As kids, we didn't know about the three different Corporal Kirshners. We just knew about the shaved one. That's the one we had.
Yes, correct. Because we weren't looking for variants as kids. We were going to rip these things open as soon as possible and go play with them.
Right, right. SD Jones, we didn't even know he had a tropical shirt.
I had no idea until much later in the 90s because we had the red.
Yeah. We did have all these, right?
We had all of these from start to finish. We had every single figure in the series.
Davey Boy and Dynamite got used a ton.
Yeah, we did not find them on the single cards. We found them as a tag team set.
I would have them against Beefcake and Valentine like every single night.
Yeah, Sheik and Volkoff,
yep.
Beefcake and Valentine. That was always on the main card. And then when we finally got the Hart Foundation, it was Hart Foundation versus British Bulldogs all the time. I still remember coming home from a basketball game. I think I was in some sort of tournament in Danville or something, and it was an all-day thing. And you and Dad had gone to Best, because Mom took me to the basketball game. You and Dad had gone to Best that day, and you found the British Bulldogs tag team set. We had heard rumors that they were out, but we hadn't actually seen them.
Right.
I came home from the basketball game, and you had bought them. And you had gotten a set, and I had gotten a set. You had already opened yours, but you didn't tell me about it. I went upstairs to my room to change, and there on my bed was the tag team set of the British Bulldogs. And dude, I lost my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was going to take a shower, but now I'm going to just change my clothes, stink, and play with my wrestling figures.
I remember because when you got home, I was standing on the top step.
Yeah, you were like waiting.
Yeah, I was like pacing back and forth, like Dad getting home and, hey, Dad, we got to go to Toys R Us. I was waiting for you to get home. And I'm like, oh, Scott's got to see these. And then I'm following you upstairs like,
yeah,
he's going to go into his room next. You know, he's going to hang a right and he's going to go into his room and see the Bulldogs. And then the reaction that you got, you're like, oh, you know, you let out like a little fangirl scream.
I did. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Yes.
It was the British Bulldogs, dude.
Right, right. But yeah, that's one of those memories that.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Best was usually a little hotbed for us with the wrestling figures. We found all of the managers at Best.
Mm-hmm.
You found the British Bulldogs tag team set there. And they were a pretty good little source for us. They were just right down the street from us too, not that far away. But I would agree with you, Jeff, that Series 3, super strong. Super strong.
Jesse the Body Ventura, I was confused why he was in his wrestling gear because I always knew him as an announcer.
Right.
And every once in a while on Coliseum Home Video, you would see Jesse pop up
right.
and wrestle. But I mean, it was like a quick 2-minute match on a Coliseum Home Video.
Right. Well, when we got into wrestling, he was an announcer. He wasn't a wrestler.
Right.
So to have him out as a wrestler, I agree with you. Questionable.
Yeah, because it was confusing.
Yep.
And because we didn't have the network at the time, so we couldn't go back and, oh, Jesse wrestled all the time or anything like that.
Or he was a tag team with Adrian Adonis. Look at that. We didn't know that.
Right.
So yeah, that would have been good to know back then because Jesse and Adrian would have been another great tag team to have.
Yeah. I didn't like that pose, though. I'm sorry, Bill, if you're listening, but that pose, that axe pose where the one arm is out and just was not a fan of that pose.
Yeah, not great. But being the fact that we didn't really know he was a wrestler, we weren't familiar with his work.
Yeah.
He kind of sat in the pile.
Why doesn't
right
he look
at our CD?
Why doesn't he look like me and Gene and have a microphone?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And yelling F it.
Yeah.
Love this series. Just an overall great series. One of my favorite series of all time. And you can just chalk that up to Davey Boy, Dynamite, Macho, and Ricky.
Who's your favorite out of the set?
Favorite out of the set is Macho.
Yeah. I think I'm going to side with you on that one. I love the Bobby Heenan figure. I love the Jimmy Hart. If I could split this into two favorites, a manager and a figure, I'm going to go Macho Man as well. That's one. 1A would be Ricky Steamboat just because of how excited I was. Overall manager, I think I'm going to go Jimmy Hart.
I agree with you.
I love that Jimmy Hart figure. They really captured him well.
And Bill mentioned on our episode, our special interview with him, is that they had hearts and no hearts on the microphone.
Right.
Just a little That's variant.
Right. Yep.
Scott, that rounds out LJN Series 3. I think it's time we speak to the listeners.
Let's talk to them.
Scott, our first audio question comes from good old Nicholas Jacoby.
Hey, Scott and Jeff. Good brother Nick Jacoby here from the Who Got Next NXT podcast on the Rant With That Network, coming at you guys with another audio question. Here it is. Now, these Elite figures that come out, whether it's the Elite series or the Target series or whatever, they usually do come out with a little sticker on the front. I'm looking at my Luke Gallows figure right now with the Rob Schamberger build the figure display with that little sticker on the front. So the question is, do you guys ever remove these type of stickers on the figures? Because if you're looking at the new Elites, like I'm looking at the Luke Gallows figure right now, which I'm going to get signed in a couple weeks, I'm going to take off this sticker because there's not enough room on the bubble to put a nice big signature with an inscription. And unless the sticker is, says like Toys R Us exclusive or something like that, if it's just the Rob Schamberger sticker or it's the older leads and it says like build a display, I personally don't mind taking them off. I love Rob's artwork. I think it's awesome that he's doing this with the figures. But if it's a figure that I'm going to get signed and the bubble isn't big enough, I see myself taking off these stickers unless it's a Toys R Us one or a Ringside exclusive one. So the question really is, have you guys ever taken off a sticker for this reason, or would you guys ever take off a sticker for this reason? And does the sticker matter to you guys, whether it's a regular Elite Rob Schamberger sticker or if it's like a Toys R Us or Ringside exclusive sticker? Thank you, guys. I would love to hear your answers and anybody else in the Fig Life community on Twitter. Thank you.
I'll be perfectly honest. The only time I'll remove any kind of sticker on the figure is if it's a price tag. Like, for example, when you buy a figure at Big Lots, they seem to be real big fans of putting the price tag on the bubble of the Elite. And I can't have that if I'm displaying it. I don't want a big $10 price tag across it. So I will remove that sticker and then get all the gummy off after it. I can see where Nick's coming from as far as the sticker being in the way of the signature. I tend to agree with him that I would remove that sticker as well if I was going to get it signed. That way you get a nice big signature on the bubble if there's not a lot of room already. I wouldn't blame him at all for doing that. But overall, as a mint on card guy, I have a hard time removing anything but a price tag really from the packaging. Unless I was going to get it signed and there was a sticker in the way, I would make an exception at that point.
Same boat. I don't tamper with the packaging.
Yeah.
Not at all. I agree with you, the sticker. Like, remember back in the day on the Hasbros, KB Toys would put that sticker right in the upper right corner?
Yep.
And it wasn't one of those easy peel-away stickers.
Yep.
It was one that would leave that residue.
Yes.
That
real
white.
Gummy. Yep.
Yes. Oh, that drove me absolutely bonkers.
Yep.
I mean, we cracked them open, but still, I hated having that on the card.
Well, and then they took to doing it to the Jax Classic Superstars, too.
Yeah,
exactly. You'd always get the little KB price tag right in the corner, and I don't know what it was about KB stickers, but man, did they leave a residue when you peeled those things off.
Yep.
It was ridiculous.
As said, I don't tamper with the stickers or anything. I just let the wrestler sign around the sticker. I know what he means about you want a nice, fat autograph right there.
Yeah. Well, if you ever meet Kevin Nash, you don't have to worry about that. He'll sign as small as humanly possible.
He did that first time. The second time he did a little bit better, but...
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Not for me. He is a big fan of the show, though, so we'd like to thank him for his support. Did you get him his t-shirt yet, Jeff?
No. I think he forgot to message us
about
what shirt he was looking for.
I'll text him. Big Sexy, what's going on, man?
Thank you, Nick, for sending that in. Scott, next audio comes in from Soda Hunter.
Hey, Jeff, I'm Scott. This is Soda Hunter on Twitter, at @Soda_Hunter. I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit and give you a quick question. I have been recently fascinated with bargain hunting. I know there's a lot of stores now that sell the newer things, like the newer Elites and Basics and Retros for $10 and under, sometimes as low as $5, like Marshalls and TJ Maxx and Ollie's and Five Below and Big Lots, and there's a few of them out there that do this kind of thing. And I'm trying my best to find the retros from these places, because they're usually $4.99 and under, and that way I could find them all for under $5 and actually get a complete open set. I'm missing a few right now, maybe about 6 or 7 altogether from all 4 series that I need to complete the open set of it. I have them all on card. But I'm also fascinated with flea markets. We have a pretty good little flea market here in Mobile, Alabama, and they I've had some decent luck at there. Like, before I started collecting, there was a table, like a random table, that had a Mr. Perfect Hasbro Mint on card for like $10, and I passed on it because I wasn't collecting. I regret that to this day. It was I want to say he was in blue, so that would have been the red card series. Also, there was a bin, or a place that had a bin full of old LJNs, and I didn't have any of them except for one Hogan that I actually strapped to a race car, and it was all dinged up, so I wasn't really collecting. I just had it for the nostalgia purpose of putting on a race car, and everybody loved the idea that I had Hulk Hogan on my race car. But I didn't get any of them, and now he's completely sold out of all these things. He still has a mess load of old toys from the 80s and stuff. But the wrestlers, the only thing he has now is a Hasbro Smash, and the action doesn't work, and the face paint's all scraped up, and I didn't get it last time I was there. Maybe it's there next time. I'll get it again. I'll probably just go ahead and get it, because I'm regretting not getting it, even in the shape it's in, because I don't have an open Smash. I don't have any Smash, for that matter. But I'm also fascinated with like the Facebook raffles and stuff in some of these groups, because you can buy tickets to get some of these old action figures, and some of them even signed, and perfect cards, varying degrees between open and perfect cards, and just okay cards, even some customs and stuff. You can get all these things for tickets for like $2 a piece, and usually I don't buy more than 2 or 3 of them, so for like $4 or $6 I'll have a chance to get something really good. I actually won one of those recently. I won an autographed Sid Justice Hasbro. But I'm becoming fascinated with all this kind of stuff, this bargain hunting. And now I'm scouring Facebook yard sales and looking at all these pictures that people post on there with bins of toys that are for sale, and just rummaging through, seeing if there's any 80s looking toys in some of these pictures. If so, I'm going to run out to the yard sale and look through it myself. I was wondering if you guys do any of that kind of stuff, and if you have, what kind of luck you've had doing any type of rummage sales, flea markets, yard sales, anything like that. Maybe some of the, maybe if you can think of anything off the top of your head that might be the best thing you've ever found that's really cheap. It may be one of these places that didn't know what they had, and you found a gem. I don't know if you guys ever have or not. I'd like to know your opinion on something like that, and if you've ever done anything like that. Thank you.
Thank you for the message there, Soda. You should have seen the expression on Jeff and my face when you said that you passed on that Mr. Perfect in blue for $10. That was like a heart punch. We're both like crushed after that one. Dude, that would have been such a great ad for $10.
You said heart punch and crush.
I did.
Yes.
All right. That was completely unintentional, but you're welcome. I think as far as like resources to find these kind of things, you're definitely on the right path with flea markets. Definitely be on the lookout for garage sales, Craigslist, Facebook groups. If you have specific wants and needs, throw them out on Twitter. I mean, we know our Fig Life family. We talk about them all the time. People listening to the show, for me, just using myself as an example, I'll often say I'm looking for something, and somebody 9 times out of 10 reaches out on a DM or a straight tweet, and they're like, "Hey, dude, I've got this. Are you interested in it?" And I end up making a deal. Most recently, Rad Chad hooked me up with the Mankind Retro Series 2. And that was great, because now I have all of Series 2 done. So, you know, I would go to Twitter first if you're really, really looking for something specific. But if you're just kind of like on a casual hunt, I would say definitely flea markets are always the way to go. Card shows or collectible shows, definitely hit those up. You might pay a little bit more, but if you're buying in bulk, sometimes you can swing some really good deals. I will say garage sales are an excellent resource. And if you stay tuned to Facebook, you're liable, like some of the city sites or the yard sale sites, you'll actually get notifications of garage sales that are coming up, and sometimes they'll post pictures of what they're going to put up for sale. We had one probably about a year ago in Manteca, and the dude had a bunch of old classic superstars. He had Demolition, Tag Team Set, Boxed. He had Warlord, Barbarian, IRS. He had one of the three packs. I can't remember which one it was, but he was asking a little bit too much for them. But sometimes garage sales, if somebody doesn't really know what they have, you can usually find some pretty sweet deals. So good luck, man. I hope that it works out. I'm actually dying to get out to a collectible show or a flea market later, maybe this summer. I know every once in a while Lodi or Galt, one of those, has a killer flea market. There's a great one out in San Jose. So I'm hoping to make it out to some of those, but those are usually really, really good resources to find some cheap stuff.
By the way, Kevin, congratulations on your Sid Justice win.
Awesome. Congrats, dude.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. Congrats. I was doing the Facebook raffles, and I never won.
Going for that 86 world title.
Yes, exactly. I did win one that I didn't even know I was entered into. I guess if you entered a previous one, you were automatically entered. I won this Macho Defining Moment, which I was like, oh, I won. I didn't even know I was entered in this thing.
Forced you to open one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
or
yeah,
I should say forced Celeste to open one for you.
That's exactly what happened. But the Facebook raffles are hit or miss. For me, unfortunately, they were more miss. Yep. It seemed like I was spending more money than...
if you had just bought it, whatever you wanted, straight up.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but every once in a while, like soda, you get lucky.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
I don't remember hitting any gems. It seems like everybody that we talk to, it seems like they know what they have.
Right.
And
exactly,
there isn't no slip up of, hey, $10 for a Mr. Perfect in a blue singlet and the red card.
Right.
There's nothing. It seems like everybody that is around us knows what they have. And,
yeah.
And probably scour eBay or something like that.
Yeah. I think you're more likely to hit something like they don't know what they have if you hit a garage sale or a flea market. And you might luck out there.
Right.
But
right.
If you're doing like Twitter, or if you're on one of the Facebook sites, they pretty much know what they have.
You know what's funny, dude, is a lot of these places are getting these bargain deals. Like, is it almost better for us to wait?
No, not for me. I've just in collecting as long as we have, I have found that if you don't buy it when you see it, you're going to miss it. And that I just take that mentality with me. Instead of waiting for a better deal, I'll just buy it right now and know I have it in my collection.
Is it better to possibly hold off and see if you can get it for a better deal?
It really comes down to how bad do you want it? How bad do you want the figure? I'll use Magnum TA for an example, the Legends.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have Magnum's first figure. So Shannon went on to Ringside when it was like $22 or $27.99. It ended up being like $30 after shipping.
Right.
She bought me that Magnum. Fast forward 3 or 4 months later, Amazon is having a humongous Christmas sale and he's $8.
Right.
I was still okay with paying the 30 or having Shannon pay the 30 because I had it in my collection and I didn't need to worry about bargain hunting. If it's a figure I want in my collection, I'm going to pay it and I'm not worried about the price on it. If it's a figure that I'm on the fence with, I'll use Tatanka, his Elite, for an example. When he came out, I loved it. I speak very highly of that Tatanka Elite, but I didn't want to spend $20 on it. It wasn't one I had to have in my collection. Went to Marshall's 2 weeks ago. And they had a Tatanka Elite, $10.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, $7.99.
Oh.
And so I got the Tatanka Elite for $8. That was a deal. I didn't remember having a Rock figure. So I picked up a Rock, took it home. It was a duplicate. I took it back. But that was only $5. But the retros, I'm definitely not sleeping on. If I see a retro in a store, I'm buying it.
I get it.
Definitely not waiting for a deal on those. They are hitting in mass at like Marshall's. I haven't seen any at Ross. Definitely Marshall's, Five Below. Soda just named all of them. But if you want it, buy it when you see it. Don't wait for the deal.
Okay. That's a good question because it's a lot of people are starting to notice that a lot of these figures that they can just wait on and get them for cheaper. But for us, it's that impulse.
Yeah. And like I said, I have been trained as a collector since 85. If you see it, buy it.
Yeah.
Do not wait on it because chances are it's going to be gone.
Yep. Thank you, Soda, for sending that in. Scott, our next question comes from Dominic.
Jeff and Scott, what's up, guys? This is Big Dom from Mesa, Arizona. I just had a quick question for you guys. So in 96, when I started collecting figures, Jack Series 1 Bone Crunchers, they didn't really come with weapons or accessories. So my question is, what would you substitute for a weapon and accessory with a household item? So a watch for a championship title or a pencil for a kendo stick, anything like that. Also, what weapons should have been made and should be made in the future. Thanks a lot, guys. You guys are awesome. Hopefully I'll see you guys for the Royal Rumble in January. Peace. Keep up the good work.
Dominic, thank you for the question, man. You know what? Household items we never used because we had accessories when we were playing with the LJNs and the Hasbros. When Jax came around, we weren't playing with figures that much.
No, it was more collecting them at that point.
Right.
We heavily played with the LJNs and the Hasbros, but by the time, like you said, Jax came in, they were just pretty much used for display purposes at that point.
Yeah, so when we were playing with the LJN and the Hasbros, Duggan had his 2x4, JYD had his chain.
Bossman had the nightstick, the managers had the canes.
Yeah.
So weapons that we needed actually came with the figures.
And we just talked about this with the Jimmy Hart.
Yeah, with the megaphone.
Yeah, the megaphone was clubbering people.
Right.
So,
right. So we were using accessories to an extent, but by the time we needed like garbage cans, like to do extreme rules matches and stuff like that, unfortunately, we were already out of playing with the figures.
No, we weren't even using that many household items. It wasn't much of anything. The only thing I would use is a watch to keep time for my matches.
Yeah, to be the timekeeper. You know who would be a great person to ask on this?
Marty DeRosa. Yes. Yep. Yeah, and then when Jax rolled around, you're right, they didn't have any accessories in the first two for the first two series, so there wasn't really anything for us to use because we weren't playing with them.
Yeah, and it wasn't until later series in Jax where they started coming with that kind of stuff, so you could actually have like garbage can lids and chairs and tables.
And when the Galoobs were out, we were just using the accessories that came with the Hasbros.
Right.
So yeah, we would just mainly use the accessories. We were never that creative. Like we would book matches, but we wouldn't take another wrestler and name him a different character. Like Marty DeRosa said, his Mr. Wonderful was a different name. I got to go back and listen to that episode. So good.
Yeah, that was his champion, though, because he looked like a world heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
He was hulking.
Yeah, but we usually stuck to the guidelines. Like, Mr. Wonderful is Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah. We definitely colored inside the lines. We didn't really
go
outside too much.
Yeah, the only thing we would do is book matches, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, we would do a lot of match booking. And if we needed weapons, we had them that came with the figures.
Right.
But I love the idea about a watch as a world title. That's really cool. Or a pencil as a kendo stick. Those are both great ideas.
Yeah. Pencil. Stabbing people.
Well, I know. And people would want to do like blood. So they would always color their figures.
Yes.
You and I never, ever did that.
Which is funny, too, because I just saw some LJNs for sale where someone colored in Jesse's face with blood.
Wow. Here we are talking about not even ever wrestling with Jesse.
I know.
Somebody had him get color. Wow.
Yeah. Dominic, thank you for your question, man. And we'd love to hear from people in the community, in the Fig Life community. Did you guys ever use weapons, like grab dad's belt or something? Or something like that. Did you guys ever do that? So, yeah. Dominic, thank you again. Mesa, Arizona, dude. We don't usually have people on the West Coast message us.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Right, so, in our backyard almost.
Yeah. Thanks, Dominic. Scott, rounding out the listener segment tonight is Josh Thompson with his weekly question. Hey, Jeff and Scott, JT here. I know that the Ruthless Aggression era is not as popular as the Attitude era, but do you think Mattel should do some figures of wrestlers from around that time as exclusives? I can see it being somewhat of a hit personally. Mattel give the 4-pack elites one more try for an Evolution 4-pack. A Team Angle Shelton Benjamin sounds really good, and since Haas has retired from wrestling, WWE could try to work something out with him to make an elite of him if possible. We also could get another Word Life Cena, a debuted or remake Flash Elite Ray, and maybe a few other obscure other guys. Your thoughts again. I know that the Ruthless Aggression era isn't as popular as the Attitude era, but I'm all for Mattel giving us some exclusive figures from that era. Josh Thompson.
WrestleMania 19 is one of my favorite WrestleManias. It's in my top 5. And one figure I think that should be made that they haven't made as far as I know, the Daredevil Rey Mysterio from that show.
Yes.
I think that would be awesome if that Rey came out. He nailed it on the Evolution 4 pack. That was actually the first one that jumped into my head. I think that that set is sorely lacking, and I wish Target would have done it. I think a 4-pack of Evolution would be amazing. As far as Cena's, I don't know, man. I think Mattel has really done Cena to death.
Yeah.
There have been so many. Like, what era Cena have? I mean, they started with him at Prototype. What haven't they released with Cena yet?
The only one I can think of is where he was in that that jumpsuit at WrestleMania 19, where he had the white hat backwards and he had the white jumpsuit.
You could do something like that.
I don't remember if Jax ever did anything. I think they did. There were so many Cenas in the Jax.
Yeah, you're right. But I don't remember them doing one with like the Kangol, the white Kangol hat.
Yeah.
And the jumpsuit. I don't know that they ever did one. Yeah. So maybe something like that would be kind of cool. Like an early Cena, like post-prototype.
Ruthless Aggression era. So that was what kind of...
It was like 02.
02 to...
Started up around 02, ended probably around 04, 05.
You got some Eddies in there.
See, I'm thinking like WrestleMania 19, WrestleMania 20. I think a Team Angle would be amazing.
Oh, I agree. A
pack of those guys.
And an Evolution, I think that would be fantastic also.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you probably can't get Haas, but they just did the 2-pack of the Revival and Shawn and Brett in the Hall of Fame Champions or the Hall of Champions set. Maybe like an Angle and Shelton in that with Angle in his jacket and then...
Yeah.
And then maybe Benjamin holding one of the tag team titles.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. I agree with him on Evolution. Team Angle would be awesome, especially with the angle that just came out in the Elites where he had the jacket.
Yes.
And put Shelton and if they can score Haas in.
Yeah,
there.
That would be quite a get if they could do more Haas figures.
They're doing the Matt Hardy V1, actually.
Yeah.
No, Jeff wasn't around at that time.
He was, but was released not too long after that really started up.
Who were some popular tag teams at that time?
Well, you had Los Guerreros.
Yes.
You had that Chris Guy and Rhino.
You're thinking of 19, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had Team Angle.
Yep.
You had RVD and Kane. You had Booker T and Goldust. I mean, a lot of those guys they've already done, but they haven't. Oh, the Dudleys were still around then, too. You could do the Attitude Era, the Ruthless Aggression Era Dudleys.
Do you think they're afraid to do some Dudley figures due to the Elites not doing well?
Possibly.
I could see that.
They haven't released Dudleys in a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since we've seen a Dudley set. But if I had to pick one, it would be the Evolution 4-pack.
I agree.
That would be the one for me. And then as a single, the Rey Mysterio and his Daredevil outfit from 19.
And then the Cena and the wrapping.
I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's overdue. It's like him in that, I don't want to say Puma jumpsuit. Was it Puma?
Close enough, like Adidas, Nike, yeah. Whatever. But yeah. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
That would be cool. But I mean, because there haven't been many Cenas that haven't been done yet.
Right.
That's one of them.
Right. Thank you, Josh Thompson, for your question. Scott, that rounds out the listener segment. Again, everyone head on over to Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat. Follow us on there and at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can get any of our shirts from whatamaneuver.net, Pro Wrestling Tees. And soon, not officially, but soon, we will be on Redbubble. You can listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Please rate and review on iTunes like JChestnut31 did tonight. Thank you very much, sir. And you can email us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, oh, by the way, card back. I am going to give everyone about another couple of weeks. This is for Cardback Series 2. For people that have not gotten their stuff in, you have a 2-week warning. If you have not gotten your stuff in, I am going to start pulling from Series 3 and move you to Series 3 if you would like.
And you're
going to
get these trains.
Yeah, you're going to get these trains. That's hella funny. So again, this is 2-week warning. So please get your clothed shot of you in. Please. Scott, you're... You've already submitted your artwork to Jason Wolf. I don't need more of you unclothed.
You love it. Stop telling me to send nudes then.
So again, please, 2 weeks. Scott, for episode 128, anything else?
Yes. Please continue to follow Jason Wolf on Twitter @JasonWLF. Please continue to follow at Extra Cooler and at Pollyanna DIY. Those guys do amazing work. They've done amazing work for Jeff and I in the past. Please continue to follow and support them. Please pay attention to our Twitter. In about 2 weeks, we're going to have the links up for What a Maneuver so you can purchase our new design. You guys are going to love it, I promise. And aside from that, happy toy hunting.
Remember to use that hashtag FigLife. Adios.